Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 22nd, 2015. The world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Give right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886. And folks, I'm serious about the prayers, but if you can't reach me, and there is a really even maybe a better way, you can send me an email with your address on it. I'll take it to our prayer circle. We'll anoint it with oil. We'll pray over it, and we'll send it back to you at no charge to you. You can also send it in the United States Postal Service. You know it still works. It's just not electronic, folks. Anyway, send me the letter. We'll anoint it with oil. We'll pray over it. We'll send it back, and I think we'll get good results. Anyway, you can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. So please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime isn't free. I know everybody thinks, well, radio's free. I can get anything I want for free. Right, but the people that produce radio, they normally have sell something or have huge sponsors or whatever, and I didn't want the station want us to be biased or anything, so I don't have any sponsors. You know, for a while we did for Mission Watch, but really we don't have any sponsors. We just have people that donate to airtime. So we do really need your help to pay radio airtime, and you could sponsor it if you wanted to. I mean, you know, you could make a committed donation every month for airtime. That would be a big help, so pray about it. Radio is the key to everything in the ministry. Like, you know, if I miss a radio program, then, you know, it's hard on the ministry because the people that listen, you folks that listen to radio, are the ones that fund the Wichita Mission Church. Anyway, our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. We can make it simpler than that. Go to prophecyhour.com, scroll down on the right. There are there's an icon that says End Time Radio Archives. Click on that. It'll take you to the archives, which is branch.podomatic.com. And it's really smartphone friendly, as is our website. So go over there, check it out, and please, please, please share at least with two or three other people. So that's how you can help the ministry. There's a lot going on today, but we'll get into it in a minute. But first, a prayer as normal. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I really pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will. And I pray that you give everybody out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, you know, before I bring on our guest, I want to make a little opening statement. You know, I watch Fox News a lot. But today I clicked it on, and I haven't been watching as much lately, but I clicked it on, and the Benghazi hearings are going on, and you couldn't help but notice that Hillary, of course, she's the one being interviewed, but come to find out, something that we talked about way back. If you go way back in the archives and look and listen to what people like Ben Barrick and some others had to say right when this happened, A, we knew this was a gun-running operation. B, we knew it wasn't because of a video. But these things are being proven now. But here we have an email out of one of Hillary's, I call her, hidden emails. It comes forward that she emailed her daughter at Chelsea and told her, said, we lost two people in an attack on Benghazi, and it was due to an Al-Qaeda terrorist group. She made other emails and references to that. While they told the American people that it was just a video for propaganda, because we know it was going into election time, maybe that was her excuse. I think it was, because, but we'll see. Anyway, so tonight we're going to talk about this and a lot more, and we're going to bring on somebody that has her own radio program, and his name's Francis Stephan. I just call him Frank. After all, he does a thing called the Frank Report, where he gets real frank with you, so to speak. But anyway, Frank is also the, I guess you'd call him the top dog or owner of AVR. That's American Voice Radio, what you're listening to. And he also is the producer of this radio program, which makes it easy for him to be on. So are you there with us, Frank?
I am, Dan.
And I'm so glad to have you. Well, you heard what I said about Hillary. What do you think about that as an opening statement? You know, what do you think?
Well, what can I think? Hillary's a liar, all right?
Of course.
And all the facts show that. And, you know, the question I have about Hillary is, why isn't she being prosecuted? Not just for this. I mean, gosh, there's 100 different things she could be prosecuted for. This is just the latest. And she's clearly a liar. She clearly told her daughter and other people, oh, yeah, it's a terrorist attack, while she was on the TV telling us all that some video riled up them poor Muslims. We just upset them so much that they had no choice but to light themselves on fire and start the Arab Spring. And that, you know, but meanwhile, the same day, she's telling other people in private, she thought, oh, yeah, of course, it's a terrorist attack. Everybody knows that. You know, it had nothing to do with the video.
Well, the reason they don't prosecute her, doesn't that bleed over to the fact that they would prosecute her if it wasn't for the fact that it was also Obama's cover-up, don't you think?
You know, I don't know what his role in it is,
right,
to tell you the truth, because obviously the Secretary of State is answerable to the commander-in-chief, you know, the president. She's part of the administration. He is the head of the administration. So, you know, what was that? Not that I'm a fan of Harry S. Truman, because he was a little traitor communist himself, but he did say one thing, the buck stops here. Well, apparently not in the Obama administration.
Right.
The buck doesn't
right.
stop anywhere. They just kick it around like it's a can.
Well, let me go with this. Okay, let's go with this. You know, on the surface, now, let me go, okay, I can explain it like this. On the surface, we're hearing a lot about this lately. On the surface of the internet, you know, it's like the top of the ocean, you know, and that's what we see. Well, and below it is a deep, dark, vast other knowledge and communities that run, whether some of it's good and some of it's evil, but it's something that we don't see. To me, this reminds me exactly of this country. While we look at the top of our country, we see, you know, we see the local politicians, and it looks like everybody's trying to do their job and being elected, but there's an underlying force that's deeper than what's on the surface that is really running things, and I believe that's by the power elite. The people that act, I don't believe Hillary framed it. I don't think she has the brains to frame it. And Obama, I believe that he's a puppet. I believe that they were pulled to put that forward by a much darker thing that's controlling America. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I agree. I don't believe Hillary, you know, is the mastermind behind what happened in Benghazi. I think she was compliant. I think she was aware of it. I think she was informed of it. I think she signed off on it. But no, I don't think she's the mastermind. Somebody's pulling these people's strings, and I don't think Obama's the mastermind. He's got less capabilities of coming up with something like this than she does. Okay? I mean, yeah. She's at least been a criminal for 40 years. He just started, you know, not too long ago.
Well, you hit the nail on the head right there. She's been a criminal ever since that I've ever heard the name Hillary Clinton. She's been a criminal, but and it probably dates back to her childhood, you know.
Oh, I can't imagine what kind of childhood
she had. I believe people like her and Obama, I believe they were groomed for the positions that they're in and that they're trying to put her in. What do you think?
Say that again? That was what?
Groomed. I believe that Obama was groomed. He was clearly something else. Somebody got a hold of him, changed some things about him, and they put him in office. The same way with Hillary. I believe that, I believe that she has a little more control. I believe that she also, they're trying to groom her to take his place.
Well, you know, that may be very, very true because, I mean, if you look back, and, you know, nobody has any memories in America, but if you look back to the last election, not the last, but you know, when Hillary was running against Obama, you know, it started out, she was the front runner then. She was she's going to be the first woman president. You know, I mean, she had it going on. And then here comes Obama, some brand new senator who's only been in the Senate for 2 years. Okay, 2 years, not even one full term. And before that, his experience was a state legislator. And before that, nobody's really sure. Community organizer, whatever that means, okay? Whatever that means. What does that mean, Dan? What does community organizer mean?
Communist to me, but
well,
I don't know.
It is. It's an instigator. But I don't know what he was involved in. Where was he a community organizer? What did he ever do? What did he organize?
Right.
What was he involved? I don't know these answers. But the thing is, it certainly doesn't prepare you to be president of the United States. But somebody somewhere decided, okay, listen, Hillary, you're out, he's in.
Right, right.
For whatever reason. And
right.
Hillary had the goods on this guy. She has an organization and a lot of money, and she stood down. And you got to wonder why. Why did she stand down? She did, though, and obviously her payoff was to be Secretary of State.
Right.
Because,
right.
Honestly, you know, all this business that people like to throw around about all of Hillary Clinton's experience, she doesn't have any experience.
No. Whenever her people are really asked, what has Hillary accomplished, you know what? They're always blank. But I've got something that nobody, that my knowledge has put out yet, and I want to run this by you, and I want you to tell me what you think.
Right.
So bear with me a second. Okay. Just suppose that, let's just suppose for a minute that Donald Trump is being true to himself and that he really is what he says he is, and he's not being paid by anybody, and he's really trying to save America. Now, with him being so far ahead in the polls, you would think if that's any inkling of being true, then they would have to do something to combat him. Because what does he want to do? He wants to kick the immigrants out of the country. He wants the illegals out of the country. Even these other people that they're bringing in as refugees, he wants to put out. He wants to do all the things that I'm for. Do all those things to cure America. But here's the deal. So if he is true to his cause, then they would have to have something in Congress to combat him. And I believe that's what the speaker thing's all about. I believe that whoever the powers that be decided Boehner wasn't strong enough to stand up to the possibility of maybe Trump or even the doctor coming in and being president, and that he would not stand up to him. And so look who they're trying to put a ringer in. That ringer is Representative Paul Ryan, who signs off on just the things that Trump goes against, like he wants to do an amnesty deal and those things. He is part of that good old boy group. Ryan is. I think they're trying to bring Ryan in because they're afraid that Trump or the good doctor might become president, and I think they're scared.
Well, Carson's not going to be president.
Well, I don't, but he's the only other one that's right behind him. I think there's the strongest possibility right now, unless somehow they fix Hillary or whatever, Trump could be the next president if we have a next president.
Well, but what about old Broadway Joe? I mean, he decided he's not going to run now.
Yeah, and what about that? Who told him to stand down?
Yep.
You know, he was in the last few days, he was really building up to where he was, you know, it looked like he was going to run. He had did all the steps, and he had even said some things like he was going to, and then boom, all of a sudden.
Well, and Dan,
he got the picture.
You know, the one thing, too, is people might say, well, yeah, but, you know, he's run twice before and lost, and, you know, and it's just an idea, and this and that and the other thing, and he has family problems, but there's one other thing. The Democrats around the country were supporting him, were excited about him, because they're not comfortable. I mean, Hillary, yeah, okay, fine. The DNC might say, hey, she's our gal, and we love her, and Hillary's so great. But that's not the average Democrat on the street. Just like, you know, people go, well, you know, the Jews are in banking, the Jews are in Hollywood, the Jews are taking over and they're evil and they're doing bad things, and I have no doubt there are Jews in big positions, but you know what,
right.
That's not the average Jew on the street.
No,
it's like the average Democrat on the street is not this evil Hillary Clinton supporting maniac. They wanted somebody else. They want another choice. They, hey, wait a minute. Come on. You're shoving Hillary down our throat. We don't want her. You know? But, hey, Joe backs out. You got to wonder why. Is it another, oh, well, gee, Joe, you'll get to be Secretary of State next. You know, is that the big prize? You get to, you know, that's second place.
Secretary of State.
You get to be Secretary of State. Hey, and by the way, Secretary of the State is, let's see, four or five down the line in, you know, if everybody dies, they get to be president.
Right.
So.
Well, that's why, going back to the Speaker of the House thing, this hit me last night when I was in bed. I really do believe that that's why the whole thing with Ryan is, because even the Democrats like him, you know, they want him in, they call him Obama's friend. I think that they may be a little bit scared that Trump is going to become president, and they would use him to stop the things that Trump wants to do.
Did you read that even Harry Reid supports Ryan?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Really? Harry Reid supports him? The Democrats, basically, if you read all the articles, there's Democrats saying, well, we'll put him in. You know, we'll put him in. Well, why? Because he's willing. He's one of the good old boys.
Because he's a rhino. He's not a Republican. He's a rhino.
Okay, well, let's go with this. Here's what I believe. I believe that when you get, after you've been in office for a while, these people that have been around for a while, they become part of the club. You know, they have this, they may go by a different name, but they're probably having dinner parties at each other's house every night and laughing about how they're going to act about it the next day. You know what I'm saying? I believe these people that are running it, that have been there forever, like Harry Reid and like Boehner and those people, they are one in the same. Because clearly, the representatives in the Republican Party said they were going to do all these things to stop Obama, and they had the opportunity when they gained that back both parts of the House. Did they do anything? No, they didn't do anything. I think they're one and same. The new people, like the Tea Party and the other people, that, like they call the Freedom Caucus, and people that come in, the newer guys, I believe those guys honestly are trying to change something. But they're running into what's been there, and it's all part of this, here we go, a grander conspiracy, this darker underbelly of the United States that goes as deep as the ocean. Back to you.
Well, you know, when you say they're one in the same, I agree. But, you know, there's another one in the same along with them, and that's our media. The mainstream media is one and the same. Yeah, they sit there and go, well, Congressman, blah, 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 blah. But they all end up at the same cocktail parties. They all end up at the same conferences. They all end up hanging out together and yucking it up at our expense. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't have either way. But you know what? The House of Representatives needs to pull their head out of their behind and start realizing, yeah, everybody's focusing on, you know, Trump and Hillary and Carson and, you know, the presidential election. But you know what? Every one of them is up for re-election come the next election, too. So the mainstream Republican rhinos there better start getting a grip on what they're doing, because, you see, the American people in the last election made it very clear. We don't like Obama's policies. We're going to elect more conservative people to take back the Senate, to get a bigger majority in the House, so you people can actually stop his agendas. And they didn't do it. As a matter of fact, they did the opposite. They promoted his agendas. They backed him up. They gave him fast track. They did all these things to give Obama more power against the American people's will. Well, there's another election coming up, and it isn't just a presidential election. Every last one of them is up for election. And I really hope all around the country there are conservative candidates who will call them out on the carpet and bring out their voting, you know, their voting record. You know, I'm sick of hearing about people's personal lives and how they're dirtbags and this and that. You know, do I really believe any of these people that go to Washington, D.C. are anything but dirtbags? I don't need proof they're dirtbags. I know they're dirtbags. The thing is, I'm not electing the Pope. I'm not electing, you know, somebody to watch over my children. I'm electing a representative. I don't care what your personal life is. You just do what I want when it comes to voting for things. And they're not doing it. You know, they're not doing it. And very seldom, how often do you hear in any of these campaigns, they come out and they, you know, they'll rip up somebody for their personal life or something. But how often do you hear them go through and say, hey, listen, let's look at your voting record?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just another thing in this great underbelly. Anyway, we're getting ready to go to a break, Frank. Tell them when they can find your radio program.
Well, I do two shows a day. I do one at noon Pacific. Then I do another one at 8 p.m. Pacific. Except on Fridays, I don't do the 8 p.m. Show on Fridays. So it's Pacific, 12 and 8, noon and 8. You can tune in. Each one's an hour. And you can also, like Dan's show or anybody else's show, you can always go to the archives if you miss it. You can download it or play it straight from there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're at a place that everybody wants it when they want it, and so you just about got to have archives anyway.
And they're free.
And they're free. Amen. Yeah, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 668-51, or donate online by going to Wichita.
WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, of course, the homeless are poor, but we're also talking about the poor people that come from around the city looking for things like food, clothing for their children, first aid, over-the-counter medications, Bibles, miracle prayers, you name it, they come looking for it. Because, you see, we're living in Obama's economy out there, which is no economy at all. People are working part-time jobs, barely making it, and so it's tough. And let alone, you know, so many agencies, well, you know, they have guidelines. You got to fill out pieces of papers and stuff. And if you miss one little thing on the checkbox, then you don't qualify. And so they even send the people to us. The people that have millions of dollars send people to us that really has no budget at all. But the point is, folks, is yes, we really do need your help. And we do a lot for them. But we're not doing it while we're doing it for them. We're doing it for the Father, because that's how we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord by the Lord God our Father, Yahweh. We serve Him by serving others, and that's how you should be. You're a representation of Him. If you claim to be saved and you claim to have Jesus in you or Yeshua in you, the Holy Spirit in you, then you're supposed to allow that Holy Spirit to work, and it's a spirit of compassion, you know, one towards another. So how can you not be a blessing to others? That's something that comes natural, you know, where people say, well, those are works, Pastor Dan. Well, faith without works is dead, being alone. That's in the book of James. Read it, James chapter 2. It's all over it, you know. But then you got to read your Bible. That's what it's all about. But the point is we're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to help care one for another. And, you know, it goes back to that. You know, here at the Wichita Mission Church, you know, we have a small congregation that fluctuates all the time. Usually, our Bible study thing, to what we have, it usually turns into a training ground for other people. They train with me for a couple of years, and they go on to other ministries, just like I have a fellow right now that, well, we won't go into specifics because it's nobody's business. But people train, and then they move on and go other places, and, yeah, they come back. But, you know, it's always small. So, you know, it's not rich people. It's not like I have the richest congregation in the world, and I can afford all this radio, and I can afford all this food and clothing and everything. Yeah, the clothing's donated, but we don't have to drive 2 hours to get the clothing in another city. That costs money. You know, things cost money. So pray about it. You know, we're just trying to help the poor and the homeless, especially you folks that live in Wichita. You know, pray about it. Maybe drop them by. If you don't want to do anything else, drop by a bag of potatoes once in a while, or some eggs, or some hot dogs, or something, you know. Because it is your city. It's the city that you live in. And, you know, well, you think, well, I might donate to an agency over there, or I give to the food bank, or I give to the Union Rescue Mission. Yeah, many of you do. And it's a good thing. Those places stay open. But what we offer them is a relationship that they don't get anywhere else. They get to come to our place and relax and not be looked down upon and bugged for their name and bugged for this and bugged for that. They get to relax and be a human being. They get to relax and talk about the Father at their leisure, or Jesus, whichever the case may be, you know. And so they get to relax. And they do that with an atmosphere that we give them of neutrality, where, you know, no matter if two enemies come in, it's neutral territory and nobody is going to bother you. And so it's a place of safety. And so pray about it. We really do need your help to stay open. We are the last hope for so many. And, folks, we are responsible, every one of us, to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. But the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. If you live in Wichita or surrounding area, drop by and see us and see what we do. And now we're back talking with Francis Steffen, who does the Frank Report. Are you there with us, Frank?
I am. You know, and I'd like to add to what you're talking about, because I was homeless for like 7 years. And I'm real familiar with what you're talking about. And I didn't just stay in one city, you know, I hitchhiked around, I went to every state, and so I have a wide range of experience in this field. And folks, I have to tell you, Dan was being nice. I won't be as nice, because if you're giving your money to one of these agencies like the United Way or the Red Cross or any of these other agencies like that, you know what? You might as well take your dollar that you gave them and just flush 95 cents of it down the toilet, because that's how much is going, and they do very little to help anybody out on the street. The United Way is a disgrace. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, in my experience, I wouldn't give them a dime for nothing, because, you know, out of that dime, whatever they're helping might get a penny. You know, and Dan invites you to come down to the mission. I suggest you do. And I suggest you do it. Now, look, I've been helped by the Gospel Mission, the Union Gospel Mission, because they got them all over. But I'll tell you this about them. They are independent. There is no centralized, like the Salvation Army's got a centralized, you know, deal going on. The Gospel Missions don't. They're all independent. So you might go to one and it might be great in your town. They might help the homeless a lot. They might give 90 cents of every dollar to, you know, to running the mission and helping the homeless and all that. But then you can have another one in another town right next to it that... They're just as bad. 10 cents goes to the homeless. The rest goes to their, you know, the ruler of the mission's lifestyle. You got to go down and see. Okay, you have to go. You just because somebody says they got a mission doesn't mean, you know, they're doing the right thing. You've got to go check it out. If you live in the town that is there, go check it out. Go check it out. Take Dan up on his offer. He's inviting you down to come and see what they do. You know, a lot of these places don't like that. They don't like their donors to come down and associate. No. I'll tell you what. You know, we've got this thing every third Wednesday of the month for the donors to come down to our open house. You think you're seeing what's really going on at an open house at a mission? Do you really do? Do you? Because I can tell you, I've been to those things as a homeless guy, and no, you're not. Oh, no, yeah. You know what we are? The homeless are king for a day on those open houses when all the donors are down there. Oh, we're treated so well. Oh, we get so much. Oh, it's just wonderful. Best meal of the year. But you know what? When they go away and the open house is over, that's when you want to show up and see what's really going on, folks. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm telling you, you know, Dan does good work and he actually helps people.
It amazes me how, you know, there's just, gosh, they need so much over there. But every time you try to add to it, you know, or you tell the news media or whatever, all of the agencies circle their wagons and they say, well, we may be full, but there's a lot of other stuff. We're taking care of everybody, and it's a lie. And the reason being, it comes out of, like, their studies they do. Every once in a while, the city of Wichita will hire some supposed outsider to come in and do a great big study about what should be done with the homeless, and it always comes to the same conclusion, that there's no new agencies need to be involved in it, and that, yeah, they could use some more money, but give it to the agencies that are already there, and they'll figure out whether they need any new beds or not. It's corruptness. It really is. And so, you know...
You know what it's like, Dan? It's like we were talking about Congress. They got their little racket set up, and everything they do, instead of doing what they say is their mission, is to take care of the homeless, they've got this other racket going on, which is really to keep us in power to keep our money flowing, to keep our status quo.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. That's what it's all about. And that's why nothing ever gets done. You know, and it just shows that could show you what the condition of the rest of the country is like. Come on. We have veterans that are out on the street. You know, like right now, I need a bicycle really bad for a veteran to ride back and forth to work, right? Mm-hmm. And so how that happened was one of the workers for the veteran, you know, administration knows that I work outside of guidelines and, you know, I just try to get things because there's nothing in any kind of funding or anything that can get this man a bike and no agency will touch it or anything else. And so here I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to pray this guy in a bike just so he can get back to work, afford to work. And she comes to us. And that's what a lot of the workers from the agency do. They'll come to us for things that their agency won't allow them to do. And so they come to us. And it's like, well, you're coming to me, you know, you've got a salary or you're working for a place that has millions of dollars, but yet you're coming to me for a $100 bicycle. But you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. And why? And we have all these veterans on the street. We have... I mean, the homeless ain't just a bunch of drunks. I mean, you know, there's veterans on the street. There's people that are working that just can't keep a roof.
Well, hey, you know what, Dan? You know what? Every 22 minutes, there's one less veteran out on the street because every 22 minutes, a veteran kills himself.
Yeah.
In America.
And that's just sad. But yet we're bringing in all these refugees and giving them all this money and allowing all these people on the border and America, and they try to get America to believe that, oh, this is a compassionate thing to do, when the people that are allowing it aren't doing it for compassion, because just by, these people don't even have to vote. Just by going to the cities that they've been going to, it overwhelms their caucuses to where it gives them more Democrat, you know, it changes the electoral votes so that they gain more. And so that's why they go to Republican, or not Republican, mostly Democrat places. It's a way to overthrow the elections. It's a way to change the demographics. And that's what they're doing with those people.
Well,
and they could care less, really, whether they live in the
street.
You know,
Dan, I read an interesting article, and it made a lot of sense to me, because I have never understood this illegal alien bonanza that the government just encourages. You know, I've heard, yeah, they're trying to change the voting. Yeah, they're trying to do this. They're trying to destroy America. And I don't doubt all those are part of it. But I read this article, and they basically made a great argument for the fact that now people who know how the economy runs, who knows how our monetary system actually runs, you know, that it's a debt-based system where they count debt as an asset. The more
right.
debt we got, the more assets we got, right? Hey, this is, you know, how it works. It's crazy. But what it is a Ponzi scheme, okay? And this article made the great point that, look, like any Ponzi scheme, the way to keep it running is to always have new people.
Right.
You gotta always have new people. Because if you don't, you run out of new people, it collapses on itself because that's how they're designed. That's why they're illegal for, you know, you or me to do. Okay? Because
they can't
do anything but what they do, okay? Because you're always gonna run out of new people and then they're gonna collapse because they are unsustainable except for new people. And this article described our monetary system as a Ponzi scheme that always needs new people getting in more debt. Now they might not
we're gonna be the tough Republicans, okay, Dan? We're going to come in there and we're going to say, well, okay, no way, no how. We're going to write a law that only American citizens can vote in elections, and we're going to get more, you know, you're going to have to come up with ID to vote, and you're going to have to do this and that and the other thing. Okay, that'll solve the voting problem. But you know what they're still going to give these illegal alien invaders? They're going to give them credit cards. And they're going to be out there getting in debt, creating assets for our monetary system. They need these people to do this, or the monetary system will collapse. Because, look, it's going on in Europe, too. Now, they're mostly Muslim, but it doesn't matter. They're poor, they have nothing, but I guarantee you they're giving them credit cards.
Right, right.
And now, I just read another story that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going back to the, remember the liar loans?
Right.
Yeah, well, they stopped that, now they're going back to it.
Do they want it to implode again?
You got to wonder. You see, I think what it is, Dan, is because like a mortgage, like a credit card, the minute you sign on that dotted line, let's say they gave you a mortgage for $100,000, right?
Right.
Well, the minute you sign on the line, you just created $100,000 in assets. And then,
right,
because of the fractional reserve, the fractional part of fractional banking, these banks now, they can take that $100,000 and put it in their asset column as anywhere from $700,000 to $1 million of assets that they can loan out. Because they only have to keep a fraction of that.
Right, right. That's why it's called fractional
right
bank.
So, you know, so you see, by them doing this, and it really gives a lot of credence to that article, because it's, who in their right mind would want to do the liar loans again?
Right.
I mean, they basically killed the housing market by doing that. And now they're going to do it again?
Makes no sense. You know, it is like they want to crash, you know, and it, maybe that's it. You know, we're seeing some of these other people, like, you know, you see Russia and China, you know, they've banded together and they're practically they're trying to make a new reserve currency. You realize that? They call it the BRICS nations, you know, and where they could exist and pay to the other nations back and forth. If the American dollar crashes, they can still function without the American dollar. And that's first, I don't know, that's the first time in how long has the American dollar been the reserve
70 years
currency?
Or so?
70 years or
50,
so?
At least 50 years, but yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's
well,
an evil system.
These people coming up with the BRICS nations, they're not stupid and they're not blind. They see what's happening. You know, they know how Ponzi schemes end. And they're not dumb. They see it and they're like, "Oh man, we need to do something, you know, before this happens, man. We got to have plan B here." And they do.
absolutely.
The B stands for BRICS, and that's plan B. And they are, you know, they're getting ready. And hey, who's to say that it's actually a plan B? They might have put together the BRICS nations and said, you know what, we are going to facilitate crashing this system because, you know, we want to turn at the wheel.
Well, they could absolutely do that just by selling off the American debt that they have already and not taking any more American debt. They can do it. They can do it.
You know,
absolutely.
You know what's really...
Now, all they got to do is just, like, flip a switch.
Listening here on AVR to Financial Survival... was something very interesting that Al Adass brought up, and it's the student debt levels. Student debt is the same amount as foreign-owned, you know, bonds, basically.
Right.
And, if China just sells all its bonds, that's going to hurt China, too. It's going to hurt the U.S. a lot more, but it's going to, you know, I mean, it's like getting in a fight. You know you're probably going to end up with at least a bloody nose. But, you know, then it's like, yeah, but look at the other guy, right? Okay,
right,
fine.
Right.
You still got a bloody nose, though. But the students, see, they're in a jam, man. You get out of college with a, you know, some bogus degree, and, oh, you owe $60,000-$70,000. And you figure, well, that's no problem because I'll just go get me one of those $40,000-$50,000 a year jobs, right? And you get out there and you find out, no, the best you'll get is $30,000 if you can even get one of those jobs. Now what? You can't, you know, they made the laws that you can't include student loan on your bankruptcy. What happens if all the students, or a majority of them, decide, you know what, we're just not paying. And what if they get in a position that they don't decide anything, they just can't pay?
Right, right.
You know, we're talking about as much debt.
let me throw something in here. We had a woman that spent a year with us at church, and she's a, well, I don't need to reveal her age, but she's a little older woman, but she became a nurse practitioner, which she's almost a doctor. Well, she had a ton of those loans, you know what I mean? And, you know, I don't know how she was going to make it. And she found a job on an Indian reservation, and because she went to work for the government, they said 2 years in it, and all your debt is wiped out. That you don't, and you don't have to pay a dime for it. So, you know, this may be also a way to force, you know, creating larger and larger government, you know what I mean? And that's what they do with communism. Everybody works for the government, so to speak.
Well, and so, everybody works in fields that the government has decided that's where you're going to work. Because I remember my mom came from Finland. And, you know, this is... Gosh, I guess my mom would be close to 70 if she was alive. So this was going on a long time ago there. You know, they've been practicing socialism over there for a very long time. And how she said school was, it's like what we would call elementary school. Mm-hmm. Before you leave elementary school, you take a test. And they find out what your aptitude is. You know, are you going to be more of a mechanic? Are you going to be more of a scientist? Are you going to be more, you know, what are you going to be, right? What are you good at? What do you lean towards? Go ahead.
I've seen some late night shows about this, like Divergent, you know, that's a plot. Actually, it's common. It puts you in a role that the government decides that you're best for, and you stick with it no matter what happens. Folks, and that's kind of where I wanted to take this program in the first place. You know, America isn't the land of the free that we thought that it was. America is indeed. Do you know, I looked through the, and I brought this up to you, Frank. I asked you, do you believe America is Mystery Babylon? And, you know, while... I'm a person that believes in names in the Bible. When it says this, it means that. When you come to this mystery Babylon that gets destroyed, you got to really wonder, because so much of it does fit America. And I can't find any other country in the world that it does fit like that. And if it is indeed mystery Babylon, I believe that we're getting close. Due to the judgment issues and due to, like, being against, like, Russia and all these other things. What do you think? Do you think we're Mystery Babylon? Do you think we're that evil, or we're just another country?
Well, like you asked me, and my answer is the same now, is that it could be. I think we could be Mystery Babylon. I don't know for a fact, you know, that we are, and I wouldn't, you know... get out there and start telling people we are, and now you better do whatever based on that. But we certainly could be. And if you really, you know, one of the things that really makes me think that is a part in Revelation where it kind of describes the merchants, you know, out in the bay or whatever they call it, you know, crying, you know, for the destruction of Mystery Babylon.
Right.
And, gosh, I mean, between the fact that, I mean, it really, to me, the description reminds me of New York City. I mean, it just does. And, you know, but then we look at, well, why would the merchants be crying? Well, where's the biggest marketplace? Not the producer, but who's the biggest consumers? Where's the biggest consumer market on the planet? It's right here in the United States. We are a consumer nation.
Let me throw this into this. And so why would God judge us? Many different reasons we could go on between abortions and all those things. But something that I just seen a little bit ago, and it's not the train. Anyway, we all know Bruce Jenner changed himself into being Caitlyn Jenner. Well, Caitlyn Jenner was just named Woman of the Year by Glamour Magazine. If that is an abomination, I don't know what is. And that is, and you know how many people will herald that and go, yay. And it shows you the mentality of America and the sin of America, that the Father will not continually, even if we aren't Babylon, we're going to be judged. And I believe Obama's already part of our judgment, but we will be judged. There's no way around it without repentance. And this whole nation isn't going to repent and throw all the queers out and throw all the other gods out. That isn't going to happen. I just don't see it. I'd like to know. Yeah, go ahead.
What exactly did he do? You know, I mean, he didn't do any. To be Woman of the Year, all you have to do is, what, be a woman? Is that it? I mean, is that like the Nobel Peace Prize for Obama?
Well, they're trying to, I think it's something about, oh, you hear him talk all the time. Oh, he is so brave. He has such courage to become a woman. Really? That took courage?
That should be an insult to every woman out there. You know, because they've been women their whole lives. And, you know, then they must be like, you know, Xena the Warrior Princesses. I mean.
Well, folks, that's America being mentally ill. America's sick. It needs to be fixed. And I think the only thing that can fix it is a cleansing. Anyway, Frank, thanks for being on with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Okay, make sure you folks turn into the Frank Report and listen to what he says when I'm not around. Might astound you. Anyway, be blessed, Frank. Thanks.
Thanks.
Anyway, do check out the Frank Report. He's on twice a day. Check him out and check out all the other stations there at AVR. There's some other good programs on over there. Some things about your health and some about warning, and there's some pastors over there, and there's some New World Order stuff. So check out AVR, and they do have a radio archive, and so you can go over there and download it. And Frank's even got some things that point you to different ways to listen, whether it's apps or other things, or listen by satellite. So check out AmericanVoiceRadio.com. That's AmericanVoiceRadio.com. And Frank even usually beats me into getting my program. You know, when the program's over, I put it in radio archives. Well, Frank usually beats me into getting them into the archives. So check them out. Folks, I believe America is being judged. Pray about it. Pray about supporting a missing church, but I got to get out of here. We must remember there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. So, remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Again, lift up the Wichita Mission Church. Pray about a donation tonight. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses you and keeps you, and his face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.